Matthew chapter 9, I want to give you a quick word from the Word. We're doing things a little different today. We're going to be giving the State of the Church address for you that are guests that have never experienced this day with us before. This is a once-a-year situation where I bring a speech on a Sunday morning more than a sermon. Normally, I don't give speeches. I give sermons. I preach. There's a difference between preaching and speeching. Amen. But we're going to do a little preaching here for just a second, just a quick thought, a quick word from the Word, and then we're going to have a special song, and then I'm going to bring to you the 2023 State of the Church Address, which is a very important day as we launch forward into to the next year and the process of organization and excitement, catching a vision together. It's a practice that I started years ago, and I've always been encouraged by the results of having a day like this. So we try to make a big deal about it. We try to make it a special day to separate it out, to get people excited about it. If we get excited together, we can do great things. We can do great things. Easy is the toil when many hands share the load. And I'm trying to get as many people as I can on board with the vision here at Town East Baptist Church. Matthew 9, let's look at this real quick, a quick word from the Word. We're going to look at one verse, and I'll give you a little background. Matthew 9, verse 8, excuse me, says, "But when the multitudes saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men." Let's have a quick word of prayer. Dear Father, we come to you today, Lord, as we are peering into the great possibilities that lie before us in 2023. Lord, we want to be the best church we can be. Lord, we want you to smile upon us. And Lord, above all things, we seek and we covet. We beseech you for your power. We know that without your power, all of our endeavors will come up wanting. God, we beg you for your power. We need it. We can't do the task that you've bestowed upon us without you indwelling us with that supernatural power. Lord, today we see a verse where the power of God is mentioned, and I want to give a quick thought about this as we prepare to look into the next year. Open up the hearts and minds of each person here. Lord, if there's somebody here that doesn't know you as their Savior, let this quick word from the Word motivate them to give their heart to Jesus, to become born again. Now, Lord, go with us as we look at your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, in this portion of Scripture, we see Jesus Christ and his extraordinary ministry. There was never a man who spake like Jesus. There was never a man who had power over sin and over darkness and over disease as Jesus did. We see that Jesus is ministering, and they bring to him a man who was sick of the palsy. We see there that Jesus will heal this man. And of course, everybody that was gathered watching this happen, this great miracle of healing, it is said in verse 8, "But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men." We see that this act of healing was a display of the power of God that was placed upon Jesus. We see the power of God displayed through Jesus. Now, the Word teaches us that God dispenses his power on man as well. You and I can be people who have the power of God upon us. How many of you would say with me, if it is possible to have the power of God, if it's possible, I sure want it. How many of you want it? How many of you want the power of God on your marriage? How many of you want the power of God on your parenting? How many of you want the power of God on your finances? I've always believed that a dollar with God blessing it and empowering it will go further than $100 stuck in your wallet without God's blessing on it. Man, I want God's empowerment on my finances. I want God's power on my decision making. I want God's power on the things that I endeavor to do, because I have learned in my life the power of God is so crucial to prosperity and success. Now, I want to ask this question that we see here. What happens when the power of God falls upon us? What happens? We see in this scripture a few things that happen as people saw the power of God displayed through the person of Jesus Christ. Now, we see that some things happen. First of all, point number one, when the power of God falls upon you, point number one, others see it. Others see it. when the power of God falls upon a church, others see it. When the power of God falls upon a preacher, others see it. When the power of God falls upon a prayer warrior, others see it, and they see great things happen through it. Oh, man, it shows. It can't be hid. It glows like a candle on a hillside on a dark night. There's no hiding it. When the power of God is on you, it just glows, and people see it. People see it. Man, I want people to see the power of God in my life. I want people, when I preach, to feel the power of God. I want people to see the power of God in my prayer life. I hope that you feel the same. But you know what? When the power of God comes upon you, others will see it. Number two, when they see it, it blows them away. Do you not catch the people that witnessed this happen? They were blown away by this. Hey, listen, somebody being healed of palsy doesn't happen every day. This was something that this man that had the palsy was probably hopeless, caught in despair, figuring that he would spend all of his life dealing with this dreaded disease. And yet, just a moment, the touch of Jesus, that dreaded disease was abolished in his members. Oh, everybody that saw it, they were blown away. The Bible says they marveled. They were just stunned at what they had just seen. Oh, my goodness. Whenever you see the power of God, you're going to see something that's amazing. You're going to see something that is unexplainable happen. You're going to see something that's just simply marvelous. The power of God can do amazing, impossible things. God can use you through the empowering of you to do things that you never dreamed or thought possible in your life. You get the power of God in your prayer life and you're going to see amazing things happen. You get the power of God in the service that you're doing for God, you're going to see amazing things happen. Others are going to see it, and they're going to be amazed at it. And then we see number three, others see it. When they see it, it blows them away. And then we see number three in that verse there, number eight. It says that, notice this, let's look at it again. When the multitude saw it, they marveled. They were blown away. They saw it, and they were just, man, this is unbelievable. What in the world? And then notice this, and glorified God. You know what happens when the power of God comes upon you? People see it. When they see it, they're blown away by it. But then number three, it causes God to be glorified through you. Oh, listen, I want everything I do to magnify God. I want God to be glorified and magnified through the actions of my life. I want God to become more feared by people seeing the power of God. How many of you are with me on that? Say amen.
Amen.
I want to be used of God to do these things for His cause. Now, just as I'm going to move into my closing of this, let me answer this question really quickly. We see what happens when the power of God comes upon you. When it happens, people are going to see this. They're going to be amazed and blown away by it. God is going to be glorified and magnified, and it's going to lead to a healthy fear and respect of God. It will draw people to God, the power of God on you. But also, here's the big question. How do you get God's power? We all want it. We all want it. But how do we get it? How do we get it? My dad was really impressed one year. He was so excited back in the mid-80s. Black & Decker came out with the first rechargeable flashlight. Who remembers all that? You plug it into the wall and you knew where it was at. How many of you ever went through a storm and you knew there was a flashlight, but you never knew where it was? My dad has this thing about flashlights. He loves flashlights. He has bought me all kinds of flashlights for my birthday and Christmas. I got flashlights stuffed everywhere. And my dad had he would impulsively buy flashlights. But then we'd have those storms there in Arkansas. We were in Tornado Alley. You never knew what night you were going to have to grab the family and run to that dreaded musky basement to avoid a storm. And my dad didn't want to sit in there in darkness. He kept flashlights everywhere. I remember one time, though, we had to go to the basement. My dad looked everywhere. Nothing more frustrating for a father when he realizes that all of his preparations have been moved and used by his kids. Amen. You know, Dad would buy flashlights and my brothers and I would get them out and burn the batteries up in them and use them, put them. Sometimes we'd put it back where it goes, but usually with a dead battery. Most of the time, we never put it back where it came from. You might find it with the lawnmower when you're out mowing the lawn 2 weeks after we used it. Well, I remember the storm hit. Dad went looking for his flashlights. The power was out. We were going to have to go to the basement. There was a tornado warning in the vicinity. And my dad was so furious, he couldn't find a single flashlight. Finally, digging through drawers, he's upset. He's trying to fumble around. He finds a flashlight, grabs it, pulls it up. The battery was dead. So from that experience when Black and Decker introduced the rechargeable flashlight. If you remember it, it was kind of big, it was white, and it had a little thing you pop out and you plug it into the wall. Two advantages. Number one, you always knew where it was supposed to be. And this flashlight, when Dad got it for Christmas, it came with a lecture. All the way home from Grandma and Grandpa's house, Dad was bragging about his new flashlight, and he was saying, I'm going to tell you what, boys, you better not use my flashlight. If I go to get this flashlight, it better be there. It better be there, plugged in, powered up, and ready to go. You're not allowed to use it. And he gave me this big lecture, and my brothers, not using his flashlight. Oh, my goodness, he was so excited. And then I think he was also excited, hoping the electricity would go out just so he could use his new flashlight. And sure enough, there it was, plugged into the wall, powered up, ready to send the light into the darkness. But you know, a lot of times we Christians are like those other flashlights. That flashlight that's just stuffed in the drawer, battery dead, or at best weak. When it comes time for us to shine, there's just nothing there. We can't fulfill the function God had for us. We can't do what we were there to do because we're just so unempowered. We become just a useless piece of metal in the hand of the user. Man, I want to be the Black and Decker in my place and ready to go. Charged up, plugged in to the power source. So I want to tell you, how do you get the power of God? Let me give you this quickly. First of all, get saved. That's a good idea, amen. Listen, beloved, if you've never been born again, you can't have the power of God. It's reserved for the child of God. It is dispensed to the born-again Christian. It is not given to the world, a world that has rejected Jesus, or at very best, failed to at least accept Jesus. They cannot have the power of God on their life. You must be born again to obtain the Holy Spirit power in your life. Somebody say amen. That's a biblical truth. I don't have time to develop it, but I could, and someday I will. We'll teach a whole lesson on that. But you've got to have the power of God on your life, and it starts with getting saved. When you got saved, you became indwelt with the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit is the channel to that power of God. Now, number two. I said number one, get saved. Number two, you want the power of God, get the sin out. Get saved, and then number two, the child of God needs to get the sin out. Boy, it got quiet on that point, didn't it? I don't think I heard one amen. Get the what? What in the world? Listen, beloved, we've got a whole fallacy going on out there today. All these grace-driven only Christians feel like they have in grace a credit card that they can just inevitably run up with sin because the bill will never come. Oh, you're so wrong, my friend. You're wrong. Sin costs. At some point, there's a credit card bill. I mean, if you've ever got a credit card, when I was in college, I remember they set up right in front of the college and they were giving away Citibank credit cards. Every one of us. Hey, you want 10% off your college tuition? Sign up. I got signed up and I got approved for a Citibank credit card. $500 limit. I was living in big times back then, buddy. $500 limit. Man, I was excited when it came in the mail. You know, I didn't have a credit card. I used to go, this was back before debit cards and all that stuff, back in the early 90s, late 80s. I'd go to the restaurant with the grown men, and I'd see them throw down their gold card, put it on that, and I'd see them using their plastic. And I got to admit, as a kid, I was jealous, man. I wanted some plastic in my wallet. Finally, I got it. Man, when I got it, I used it, and I had fun. I bought some stuff, very important stuff that I needed, like pizza and McDonald's. Didn't realize that it was like an 18-point-something% interest rate. Listen, not too many people can say this, but I have actually had a slice of a $600 pizza. I didn't know it at the time, but when I paid it off, that's about what it ended up being. Oh, man, and then all of a sudden, you know what happened? I got a bill for that. I got a bill in the mail for that credit card. I got a bill, and you know what? They expected me to pay it. You know, a lot of people are running around using the grace credit card. Well, you know, we're all under grace. It doesn't matter how we live, because we're not going to pay for it anyway. Praise the Lord! Woo! You're getting eternity and temporal confused here. Sin costs. Sin comes with bills, man. You better be careful of running up that grace credit card bill. Thinking because, you know, God's forgiven you for everything, you won't have to deal with it. Oh, cost. Sin hurts your marriage. It'll hurt your parenting. It'll hurt your testimony. It'll hurt so many areas of your life. It'll hurt your conscience. Costs. And let me tell you what it also costs you. You live in sin, it diminishes the power of God in your life. Get the sin out. Number three, get into prayer and Bible study. There lies a wonderful key to prayer. Remember I talked about that flashlight plugged in? When you're plugged into a prayer life and a Bible study life, you are plugged in to the power source that will recharge you and charge you up to be ready to be used. Number four, get into God's will and God's work. God will empower those doing His work and abiding in His will for their life. And then lastly, number five, if you want the power of God, want it, seek after it, ask for it. In your prayers daily, Lord, I covet your power. Lord, will you empower me? Lord, I want your power. We have to ask God for the power that He has at His disposal. But if the power of God comes on you, it'll do great things in your life. I want you to bow your heads for just a moment. We're endeavoring to do some great things as a church, but without the power of God, it would be useless. Without the power of God in programs, they're not successful. Without the power of God in a marriage, it will be problematic. Without the power of God in your Christian service, it will often end with no harvest. Beloved, I want you to be the people that seek the power of God in your life. I want you to be the people who it's important to you, and you're asking for it, you're seeking it, and you're living in a way to obtain it. Beloved, if you're not born again, why not today? The Lord can do something great with your life. Salvation comes with eternal life, and that's worth the price of the ticket right there. Whatever you got to do to get saved, whatever you got to get rid of, put down, cut away, it's worth it to not go to hell. To be able to go to heaven and have the joy that God has reserved for you is beyond any gift you could imagine. But also, in this present life, you live a life that will bring you the power of God. Great things can happen in your present life. God can use you to do great things that'll bring wonder and marvel. And God can be glorified and magnified through your life. And you know, when we do that for God, it bears blessings from the hand of God. And you know that can't be a bad thing for you. Let me ask you this, are you born again? If you died today, would you go to heaven? I want to ask you, with every head bowed and every eye closed, you say, preacher, I remember the day that I sincerely gave my heart to Jesus, and I know I'm going to heaven. Would you just slip your hand up as an unashamed testimony? Oh, I see hands everywhere. You may lower your hands. Is there anyone that could say, preacher, I couldn't honestly raise my hand. I couldn't do it. I know that I'm not born again, but preacher, I want to be. I want to be. Would you help me? Would you pray for me? With every head bowed and every eye closed. If that's in your heart right now, don't be afraid. But just simply slip your hand up. Let me help you this morning. I'm not going to embarrass you. I promise you that. But would there be anybody? Preacher, I need to be born again. Let me ask one final and third question. How many of you today say, I want to be the kind of Christian that people see the power of God in my life? Would you slip your hand up? That's a commitment. If you want it, you've got to commit to it. Dear Father, you've seen the upstretched hands. Lord, these are people who sincerely want you to empower them. They want to be used of you, and they love you. And they're here in your house this morning praising your name, unashamed, declaring that they are of your family, wearing the name with pride. Lord, I pray that you'll empower them and use them at work, use them at the schools they attend, use them at the family gatherings and the things that we go to. Lord, let people see the power of God in our life and be amazed. And be amazed at the power of God. And then, Lord, I pray that it could be used to draw that lost loved one, that lost friend, that lost coworker, to be just in awe of what God can do. I've always believed when people see the power of God in a sincere Christian, they'll want what that Christian's got. They'll want it. They'll want it. Let us be the kind of people that make people want to be Christians, not the kind of Christians that make people run away from Christianity. Let us have your power. We ask this in Jesus' name.